It's your boy Tito Adams on the podcast called What Do We Talk About Next? And today I have a very special guest with me, so stay tuned. Hey, so this is Tito Adams on the podcast What Do We Talk About Next? And today I have a very special guest, like I told you guys before, so I'll allow this particular guest to introduce herself. So guest, who are you?
Hey guys, my name is Phaedra Adams and it's nice to be here.
Alright, so I guess you probably figured out by now. Alright, so this is my wife with me, Miss Phaedra, and we just kind of decided to probably continue, it's a passion of mine to continue this podcasting, you know, to talk about certain topics that, you know, we're concerned with, basically. And during this time, especially COVID, coronavirus, you know, we have lots of time on our hands, so it's good to kind of invest in yourself or invest in your passions and your dreams and that sort of thing. So I'll encourage anyone who's listening, anyone who's out there, to do this exact same thing, because you have time, right? So do what's best with your time currently. All right, so we just shout out everyone going through the COVID and the corona struggle. You know what I'm saying? In our country, it's not as bad as it is in other countries and other, you know, nations and that sort of thing. So we just prayers up for you guys, you know, and hopefully that this thing just ends soon. I want it to end so badly. Do you?
Yeah.
So badly. All right. So one of the things that has been kind of plaguing, I would say, Christianity for a vast majority of time is our example and how people see us. And we kind of, well, we're trying to delve into just a few scriptures which would be able to help us navigate through this process or better understand, you know, the process of example. All right, so you want to read the first scripture?
Yeah. So this one is taken from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. And it says, "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity."
All right, so normally in the past, this would normally be geared to young people because it begins, you know, be an example to the believers. And what does it says?
Don't let anyone look down on you because
you're young. Let anyone look down on you because you are young. And of course, as young people, we want to cater our messages to young people. But a bigger question that I have, Faye, what do you think? Does this scripture strictly apply to young people? Or is it the body of Christ, the ecclesia, or is it just specifically for young people?
Well, I think it applies to young people because it specifically says do not let anybody look down on you because you are young. Mm-hmm. So Paul, I believe, mm-hmm. who was the writer of this book, was he was a letter to Timothy, and Timothy was quite young at the time, so I'm guessing that it is specifically for, well, not guessing, but based on the scripture, it mm-hmm. is geared towards young people.
All right,
younger believers.
I have a second scripture. It's Titus 2 verse 7, but I decided to read the previous verses. All right, so here it goes. Titus chapter 2. "You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good in your teaching, showing integrity, seriousness." and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. All right? So, this passage of scripture, basically, in Titus chapter 2, kind of gives encouragement or example of how to be in the ecclesia, basically, the structure of the ecclesia, in terms of elders and older people and young people, and what the older men should do and what should be passed on to the younger men, and what the older women should do and what should be passed on to the younger women. But it also says, interestingly, in the last particular verse, it says, similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness. And verse 8 says, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. What do you think they mean by those who oppose you in that particular scripture?
So that those who oppose you. I'm not sure if they're talking about like unbelievers or the outside world, but it kind of gives that impression. But funny enough, some of your opposition can come from believers as well. Mm-hmm. So it might just be addressing anybody, any particular person that would come, that would speak against you because of your faith or because of who you profess to be.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right. So we also know, Faye, that the scriptures basically was written for the church,
yeah.
Basically. So these are examples for the church. Do we allow our lifestyle and what we speak to be exclusive to church, or when the church meet, or when we meet bread, or should we display these characteristics in the workplace, in school, at play, on the job, wherever we are?
So you're asking if it's only just for church?
If it's only just for church, or is it, could we do
no,
this?
No, because Christianity is not, it's not supposed to be practicing the four walls. It's a way of living. So, and living is not just in church,
mm-hmm.
but living is like everyday life. Living is when you go, when you're around your family. Living is when you're around your coworkers, when you're around your friends. So it cannot just be limited to church. It has to be in everything. Like, you being a Christian is who you are, so who you are cannot just exist in church. It has to exist in all areas of your life.
All right. So I think that because the scriptures right now, they are, there's an emphasis on teaching and there's an emphasis on example, and I think that Christianity has gotten a bad rep because of our example and how we teach. So we can be bad examples, and bad examples stem from the way we are taught.
Yeah.
All right, so what we have, the task on our hands currently is to tailor or adjust our teaching methods.
Relearn
certain things, or how we interpret the word or misinterpret, that sort of thing, but in how we interpret the word and how we disseminate the information and how we teach it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we have to teach these things in order for it to be lived out.
Yeah.
But I think now we have been some bad examples. All right, and that is causing the church to be called hypocrites. All right, it's affecting our testimony of who we represent.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my question for you is, when is it most difficult to be an example? Or why is it difficult to be an example?
Mm-hmm.
If you can give a personal example or experience or something of that sort.
To be an example,
mm-hmm.
I think why it's most difficult to be an example, especially when you are Christian, is because a lot of the things that you believe a lot of the things that scripture teaches you, the way that scripture teaches you basically goes against the norm of society. And the thing is, 90% of our time is spent outside of church. Like, you know, some of us, our families are not necessarily Christians. Our friends at work are not necessarily Christians. So, you know, like, they have a different way of thinking. They have a different way of acting. They have a different way of treating other people. So when you constantly being placed in positions where your belief basically will be put on display, and it's not always the most popular way of thinking or the most popular way of believing, so it's difficult to be or to act like how the scripture says that we ought to, because we realize that we will be frowned upon for doing or saying certain things and not going certain places, because, you know, the large majority of people don't really believe what you believe. So it becomes difficult when you think about what other people are doing. Well, yeah, the majority of people.
I think those are some excellent points. All right, because, man, we live in a world where we just don't belong in this world.
Yeah.
And we're not guided by its principles at all. And we know that the scripture says that the enemy really is the prince of the power of the air. You know, he rules what happens with our atmosphere right now. So my question is, dude, what happens next? Where do we go from here? What happens next?
I think it's really about conditioning your mind, first of all, because the thing is, there is no, God doesn't force us to believe. It's a choice that we choose to make. We chose to say, okay, this is where I am. I realize who I am without you. And you made that.
I just want to put a pin in that right now there. Now, you said, you made a choice, okay? We made a choice. Whether or not you were drawn by the Spirit of God, but once upon a time, you decided, listen, this thing makes sense to me. All right, this message that I heard that was preached to me, it made sense. So I took it upon myself to say, you know what? I want to follow it. I want to follow you. Just like if you're in a particular class, or before you go into a particular class, you said, you know what? I like chemistry. Or I love biology. And you tell yourself, you know what? I want to study biology or chemistry. And you go into the biology class or the chemistry class, and the teacher says, these are the ground rules. You know, if you want to succeed in this particular class, this is what you need to do in the chemistry class or the biology class. You need to study this. You need to display this sort of, you know, discipline, that sort of thing, in order for you to be successful. And when you come into Christianity, the same things basically are placed on us, right? You've made a choice to become a Christian. No one forced you into it, unless you went to a crusade and they spoke about hell and you were scared, and you say, you know what, I want to be, because I don't want to go to hell, you know, that sort of thing.
But usually when people have that kind of emotional response to the call of salvation or whatever, it doesn't really last very long, because fear is an emotion that does not, like, it comes and goes. So if you make a decision based on fear, most likely when you're not afraid anymore, your mind might change. So it doesn't really last.
It doesn't last. All right. Yeah, so that's what you were saying.
Yeah.
We made a choice.
Yeah.
Okay, and you want to succeed at this particular thing. So you have to do what is required. I'm not bashing anyone, basically, because it's like Phaedra said, it's hard. All right, it's particularly hard to be an example, because you have to go against every norm that you are faced with, basically, because that is how Christianity basically is. All right, so just continue what you're saying.
Yeah, so it's really a mindset. It's really a renewing of your mind, as according to what the Bible says. Like, you know, do not conform any longer to the passions of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it's really like a reconditioning, because we all know the scripture says that we were all born in sin, right? Yeah. So basically what's first nature to us is to do or to live in disobedience to God. Like, our first instinct is not to love God or to be obedient to him or to do what he says. Like, by nature, we love sin. So it's really a thing where you have to recondition your mind. And the same thing goes for, like, us being an example. Like, we have to realize, first of all, that the choice was made by us. When you realize how destitute your situation was, mm-hmm. how bad you were, and then you realize, like, the only way to come out from this situation is to basically live the life that Jesus lived. So that was your choice. So therefore, you basically chose to say, you know what, Lord Jesus, God, Yahweh, Yeshua, mm-hmm. however you choose to call him, you basically chose to say, despite what's going on around me, I will listen to your voice above mm-hmm. all else. And that's what we have to realize. We have to be able to separate ourselves from this world despite what's going on around us. We have to understand that, yeah, it might not be the most popular. Yeah, people might say it's outdated. It's archaic.
Mm-hmm.
It's depressive. You know, and so many, you know, so many new things are coming out. Like, you know, how it's just so ancient and the world is transforming and the world is progressing and we cannot keep on conforming to the same ways and the same things that we were doing back then. But then the thing is, God remains the same and his word remains the same and scripture is truth and it leads us to all truth and that's what we choose to believe. So if we believe that, we have to continue to make that decision every day in our minds, despite how the world is changing. This is the decision I'm choosing to listen to God's voice above all else, above my friends, above my family. It's really a mind thing. Like, you really have to condition your mind and separate ourselves from the world's way of thinking and the world's way of doing things. So
it's more hard work. But what is the payoff? Somebody might say, what is the payoff? You know, why? Why should I live separately? What am I going to get at the end? Why should I do this? Because so many other things that we might do in this world have immediate rewards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you may get a reward if you do this thing or do that. But why should I do this?
Well, we as Christians, we believe ultimately that we get to live. Like, we believe that this life is only for a moment and there is so much more to life than here and now.
Let's put a pin in that there. Mm-hmm. Now that's another topic in itself. All right, that's a whole other topic in itself, because you say now that it kind of adds this mm-hmm. this kind of adds to your argument as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if our life here is basically short, we shouldn't hold on to it like we are holding on to it right now.
Nope.
So we shouldn't even basically strive for some of the things that people are striving for, so to speak.
You're advocating that,
that we do,
mm-hmm.
because we ought to be separate in that instance. So anyways, mm-hmm. go on.
Yeah, we believe that this life is just momentary and after it, there is more life to come after it if you live according to God's standards. And you uphold his teachings and his decrees and rules and what he says that you have to do. So basically our reward is spending eternity with God, not in this life, but in the one after.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we look forward to. And I think it's difficult to see the end picture, because everything we're being taught is basically to take care of yourself and look after yourself here on earth. And we forget that we have a soul, and we forget that this body is not forever. It will come to an end. So, you know, we stop and we go after so many things on this earth, and we make decisions like earth is permanent, mm-hmm. and it's really not. And then you spend your entire life chasing and going and doing after these things and, like, you know, storing up riches for yourself here. Yeah. And then at the end of the day, like,
getting the whole world.
Yeah, like your soul is basically dying.
Yeah.
Or will be dead. So yeah. That's the reward, essentially. To live with God eternally.
It's very interesting. Because I think we see examples every single day. We see examples of people who believe in a destination, or they believe in a particular reward,
mm-hmm.
and their lifestyle works in accordance with what they believe,
mm-hmm.
right? My only thing now is that my conclusion is Christians don't really believe because their lifestyle is not in accordance with their destiny or the vision that it's supposed to be in accordance with.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you believe something, you live according to that. It doesn't matter what people tell you,
mm-hmm.
you are focused. You say, okay, I want this and I'm going to get this.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what people tell you,
mm-hmm.
you believe in your heart that I am going to achieve this after all this is done.
Mm-hmm.
But Christianity, on the other hand, that's us. Sadly, we don't live as if we believe. All right, and that is affecting our example in this world today. Because I remember a time in our youth ministry when we probably did not arrive, but it seemed like it at one point in time. Like, we all had this idea that God was everything.
Yeah.
All right, and we were thirsty. And we were seeking after God like there was no tomorrow. It was like, mm-hmm. God was everything and we want more. And deep within yourself, like, I knew at that particular time, boy, Phaedra was going hard. Or Shane or whoever, our friends, yeah, AJ and whoever, Ethan, D. You knew, you know, that guys were going hard. So at school, while I was at school, I knew that Phaedra was being an example at her school. So I had encouragement, you know, just to be an example at my school. I was encouraged. I was like, I know she's going hard. All right.
Mm-hmm.
When it came to work, it was like, I know Shane is going hard at work. I know he's being an example. All right. And we all had that collective idea that everyone was going hard. And we were kind of, what do you say, encouraging each other to mm-hmm. righteousness. I don't know if you want to call it that, but it was at that level where it was like, dude, I'm not going to let down my guard because I know my brothers and sisters are going mm-hmm. hard. All right, so I'm going hard. What I'm trying to get to
mm-hmm.
is that people don't see Christianity as a collective unit. All right? So that dampens our example. And we know that what we read in the scripture is that our example goes beyond speech.
Mm.
All right, it's telling us go beyond what we say or what we profess
mm.
to believe. Let us see you live it.
Mm.
You know, let us see the belief come into action.
Yeah.
And if the whole world can see Christianity portraying this particular example, because I believe I'm an advocate for that God gave us the blueprint, and if we just follow it, then it will lead others to him, because it will be an unwavering faith. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be unwavering. We all have one goal, one mindset in mind. We're working towards one thing.
Mm.
But when you have 10 going over there, you have 3 going over there, you talking to different people, everyone has a different perspective or a different interpretation of something or how we should live or how we should speak or sing or that sort of thing. And then who wants to be a part of chaos? Basically, I don't think people want to be a part of chaos. That's why, I don't know, you could correct me because you know the facts on this more than I do. Like the different religions and Muslims and that sort of thing, that the world might respect them more because they are more collectively unit.
Well, that's ironic that you would say people don't want to be part of chaos when the world is basically chaotic right now. Like, everybody doing whatever they want. And that's the thing, people just want to do whatever they want without anybody telling
them. But you make it worse. Yeah, so that means our mindset is worldly.
But that's what we come into. That's what mm-hmm. you alluded when you said that our example is not that great because we do not, we basically don't follow what the Bible teaches us to do. So if we're not living by the word of God's example, then it must be the opposite. We're living by the worldly example.
Yeah. That's basically what it is. Is that we are becoming more worldly.
We are more worldly.
All right, and we're becoming comfortable. Because now, people are going hard in their individual lives.
Yeah.
All right? And everyone wants to go harder.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if this friend achieves this, a vehicle, a house, whatever, you want to achieve the same things, basically.
And more.
And more. This is what it has become. Everyone checking for themselves.
Yeah.
Basically. And you're going hard in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual aspect of life, you may acknowledge God daily, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But the spiritual aspect, the spiritual yearning for life, or the spiritual yearning for being an example where the scripture says you are the salt and you are the flavor and that sort of thing, and that the world sees you and men are drawn by your example, is that they don't see that anymore, because the world is striving for the same thing, basically. So there's no difference, really. Because if you achieve a big house or a car, that's what we're all trying to get.
Yeah.
All right? No one is trying to do other than that, especially Christianity. So,
and again, it has to do a lot with how we're taught.
Yes, basically, back to the point, yeah.
Yeah, basically, when we sit down in churches now, you hear a lot about me and I and prosperity and self-help and, like, you know, just basically things to improve yourself, which is not bad. Self-improvement is good.
Yeah,
you should never strive to be the same.
Definitely.
But then the thing about Christianity, a lot of the times when we look in the Bible and we read scripture, the scripture does not apply to one person. Like, we always look at scripture for ourselves. Like, it says you are the salt and the light of the earth. Does it speak about you personally?
Yeah, plural.
Or not personally, but you individually? No, because we all know a grain of salt cannot do the work that it needs to do. It needs to be more. It needs to be like a whole collection of salt. So the scripture cannot just be speaking about you individually. It has to be speaking about a collective body. And that's why the scriptures continue to describe the church as a body, and we need each other to basically make this thing work.
Yep.
So when you have preachers or teachers or shepherds, whatever you want to call them, in charge of a church, and all they can speak about is individual growth and prosperity and all of these kinds of things, and that's basically what people will start to think and feel, and then you come in and you're taking the word for yourself and you're just going at your home. How does that, it doesn't unify us at all. Like, yeah, you might be winning in your life, you might be getting all your goals checked one by one, but what about the other brother or the other sister who's sitting in the congregation who probably needs a little bit more help with planning or encouragement to go after certain things, or who probably needs a meal, or who probably needs some clothes, or who probably needs some money? Like, you know, you winning, but then if the other person is not, then that's not abundance, that's not prosperity, that's not Christianity, basically. It's not, because more than anything, Christianity is community, so you cannot live on your own or try to be an example on your own. That one person cannot be an example. That one person can only reach so many people. So it has to be a collective thing. All of us has to be in one mind, in one accord, in one spirit, praising the same God, so that the world can see and then the world can be drawn to God. And, you know, because we have so many good examples of Christians, or Christians who at least try to be a good example. But at the same
big
time,
big up to you, big up yourselves.
But at the same time, you still have so many people who spoil it and who basically, like, you know, degrade Christianity.
Yeah.
It's sad. Maybe it's not the intention, but you know, degrade Christianity, and because of people who are being bad examples, they label the whole lot. That's just goes to show you that it cannot be an individual thing. Like, it has to be, everybody has to be on the same page, because when one person fails, everybody fails, and that's how that's just how it is.
Yeah, it's true. Like you say, we don't have an issue with if you preach prosperity, but if you preach it the right way, basically.
Yeah.
Because the blueprint has always been there. You know, God says that in Acts, the church had everything in common.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and everyone was in one accord and one mindset, and they brought everything to the church and they distributed accordingly.
Exactly.
You know, wherever there was lack, they distributed. But like you say, people think I'm winning individually.
Yeah.
But as a Christian, if you think you're winning individually and you're not concerned about your brother or sister, something is wrong.
Yeah.
And you have to correct it.
Yeah.
All right. You have to remedy whatever mindset you have in terms of the I and me and that kind of, you know, teaching or theology or whatever it is. We have to readjust that to think what happens to the little people in our congregation, the little people that do so much for your congregation, that are always on time and that are always present. You know, they do so much and then most times they go unnoticed. Because I don't know how recent it was, but I saw a clip of a pastor saying that people need to bring the tithes into the church. It doesn't matter what's happening now, this pandemic, that sort of thing. No, God is everything. Which God is everything, bring your tithes, that, that, that. Now, I don't know if the church has been responsible for people who may be suffering during this pandemic. But it would be good to know that the church is actively involved in trying to locate people who may be suffering during this pandemic. The government might take care of you, but it's still the church's responsibility to see, are you okay?
Especially if you are a member.
Especially if you're a member of the church. Yeah, are you okay? Is everything all right?
You part of the brotherhood is their duty.
Yeah, it's their duty. It's simple.
It is your duty. It's an obligation. No, it's like an obligation. Nobody make you feel it's not. It's an obligation. You have to take care of those who are weaker, who are in need.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, it's true. And this basically is just a plea. We're not, like we said, we're not bashing people. You know, I don't say if you're bashing Christianity, I'm not sure. But it's like we fall short in these areas. You know, it's on our hearts, but we fall short in these areas and we want to get to that place. So we're sending a plea out there, you know, to whoever who's listening to this podcast right now, and you're a Christian and you understand what Christianity is supposed to be, community, example, leading by example. Let us come together. All right, let us come together. Let's take a stand. And let's mobilize in God and do what is necessary, you know, to readjust Christianity, so to speak.
Further the kingdom of God.
And further the kingdom of God. You know, leading by example. Because it's saying that we have to let, it, I don't know if this is the legacy or whatever, but it has to continue. So if the older women or the older men in our churches are not teaching us, you are left to your own devices, basically, Faye. And if you left to your own devices, there's no one to guide you into truth. What happens to the generation after you? So this cycle has to be, it has to be controlled. It has to be. We have to take the doctrine seriously, basically. Because I remember a guy was saying, it was a very good point. I don't know if I could remember it clearly, but let me try to quote it properly so that you get the essence. He was saying that people saying don't force Christianity onto your children. Right? Don't tell them you need to learn scripture. You need to memorize scripture. John 3:16. You need to know how. No, don't force it. Let them get it.
They won't.
But you force. You need to learn, go to school. Which is not bad, but you force it on your kids too. You need to learn. School is important, right?
You need to get a good job.
You are creating an environment for your kids. That's a doctrine, basically. So they grow up believing this. They grow up believing that, okay, education is more important than Christianity.
Yeah.
Right? Finding a job is more important than Christianity. All right? But this is strictly for Christians now. We're not talking about the world. We're talking about Christians now. So you have to indoctrinate your children, whether or not they don't want to or not. You force this upon them. You have to do it so that they can understand that this thing that we live in is serious. And just like the scripture says,
God takes first priority over everything.
And just like the scripture says, we don't want you to do those that just say it. And in the house, there is no example. There is no lifestyle. So the words must match the lifestyle. So if you project that onto them, church is important. Let the lifestyle accompany it. Basically. All right. So this is the plea for us as Christians to get it right. Yeah. To be serious and get it right. you know, step up our game.
For all of us to be serious.
Yeah, that's basically what this is about. All right, so could you read your scripture again, if you have it? So that we just reiterate, you know, the points.
So my verse 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. And it says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity.
All right, so big up yourself, young people.
Yeah, man.
I guess this is for you. All right, read it again. We're going to do what you might do to your children. Read it again.
Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young,
mm-hmm.
but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in faith, in love, and in purity.
All right, so there is speech, profession, your tongue, saying it, conduct, how you live, lifestyle, purity, your mind, thoughts, that sort of thing. So be an example in all these aspects, basically. And it's saying, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. So I know Timothy at that point in time was feeling, man, I'm too young. This is too much of a big task for me.
Mm.
I can't be an example to people who have come before me, who are older, that sort of thing. Nah, you understand the doctrine. You understand the truth. So live it out. And sometimes young people in churches can be intimidated by that and might not want to live out and might not want to even speak.
Mm.
But it's saying that don't let anyone despise you because you're a young man. Don't let anyone despise you because you understand the truth or you get it right. You live. And the more you live and the truer it is, other people would see it and they will follow.
Yeah.
Once it's true and once it's consistent, people will follow.
Yeah.
It can be broken. All right, and mine is Titus chapter 2. First, I'm going to read verse 1 to 8 because I think all of it is like good stuff. So just read all of it. You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. All right. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-control, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers. I was going to say something, but I won't say anything. Slanderous or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women, succession, to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home. All right, that's another topic. To be kind and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, verse 6, encourage the young men to be self-controlled in everything. Set them an example. So that coincides with your passage of scripture. Conduct, word, purity, whatever it is. In everything, be an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. All right. Consistency, not breaking under pressure. Seriousness. All right. Integrity and seriousness. And verse 8. And soundness of speech that cannot be condemned. So that those who oppose you, whether Faye was saying it might be the world, it might be your own brothers and sisters in Christ, those who may oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. All right? So, let the world be ashamed. All right, let the world be ashamed, basically, because they have so much to say about us, so much bad to say about us because of our example, because of our inconsistent example. So let our example be consistent around the board, around the world, the globe, every church, nation, whatever it is, let us be consistent in our example, our lifestyle. So this is not anything new.
Yeah.
Is it, Vajra? No, it's not. Okay? This is far from a new revelation or a new interpretation of scripture. I just found this or it just dropped in my spirit, so I want to share it. It has nothing to do with that. All right, it's an old message. You probably heard it 1,000 times before. But it's about action in it. Like just saying, let me live this. Let us get it right and begin to live it. That's basically what this is, a plea. And let's see what happens. Let's see how the temperature of Christianity could change for the rest of the world, for the rest of Christians. Let's just see what happens if we begin to live it the way it should be lived. All right, we want our children to experience community. So that's our desire at the end of the day. And we want to be able to pass on the legacy or the truth for Christianity so that it lives.
Mm-hmm.
If it's true, though, if you believe it, that's how it is, though. If you believe it, then you live in accordance with what you believe. Right? If you believe in destiny, you live in accordance. Your life would speak. For if you don't, then you don't believe that this earth is gonna last. Then you live in accordance with that.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe that this is permanent, then your lifestyle speaks, and we can easily say, okay, that's how you live. You basically are. So it was good. All right, this is where we end today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so thank you so much for listening. Thank you for stopping by.
Yeah.
We just want you to share this. You know, share, send it around the world. If you think that it's worthy of a listen, you could send it to someone who you think might want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so big up yourself. More of this stuff coming soon. All right, so you want to say anything?
I think you summed it up nicely.
That's what she always says. Which I disagree with, but you know, we'll get her another time. Yep, so it's your boy Tito Adams, and this was my lovely wife Phaedra sitting in with me. Alright, so big up yourself. Yep, she did an excellent job. So, thank you guys. Podcast, what do we talk about next?